Hello and welcome back to the Girls Fuel podcast. All right, episode two of our Gut Protocol series. I honestly haven't decided if there will be a three or not. So we're just gonna kind of, oh my God, I'm dropping things. We're just gonna kind of kick this one off. We're gonna talk today about what you should do after your gut protocol and what to do if you did one, but now you feel worse. And we already covered a little bit of that in the first episode, talking about why that might have happened, some of the missing pieces that you might have needed in order to actually get rid of whatever infection you have. But we'll kind of dive right in and talk about, well, what do you do after the protocol? So when I say after the protocol, I mean after the kill off, which I think most people do this part mainly. They prioritize it, which is either your antibiotics, your herbs, or a mix of the two. So, what do you do after you've gone through this and now you want to start returning to normal life? You want to introduce foods, all of that. So, this phase is known as the repopulation phase, and this is kind of where the fun begins when we start to see, did what we do work? Are you healed, essentially, right? And this is where healing is still happening, right? In the last episode, we talked all about how important it's going to be to support intestinal lining, to support enzyme production, to support motility, to support immune function. But a lot of times, the reason why all of those things are struggling is because you have an infection. So it isn't until after we get the infection out that we're actually able to calm down the intestinal health and get it functioning properly. So this is where post-protocol is equally as important as the protocol. So a big mistake here will be just saying F it and going back to normal life, meaning going right back to drinking, going right back to eating out multiple times per week, going right back to eating all the foods that you did before. Post protocol is going to be that repopulation phase, and it needs to be strategic to a degree. And this will depend on the level of dysbiosis that you had, the length of your protocol, how you feel on the way out, and everything in between. But the biggest thing that has to happen is we need to repopulate your good gut bugs, especially if you're doing this herbally, but even if you do it on antibiotics, right? Because I kind of talked about this in the last episode, and if you haven't listened to that one yet, I do recommend going back and doing that first. Where when we do a kill off, we're essentially like wiping the slate of your microbiome clean, right? So we're ideally, killing off all the bad stuff, but naturally a little bit of the good stuff will go with it. And that's okay. That's part of the process. So this is where a mistake that people make is they don't do this repopulation phase properly. And that's often why you might do a gut protocol and feel worse because yeah, you might have killed off the bad bacteria, but you can actually leave your gut in a worse place if you don't support it properly. So the first thing that I'll usually do once somebody finishes their gut protocol, we're starting to taper off kill off supplements or tapering off activated charcoal and these detox agents. We'll leave any support in. So maybe they had pancreatic enzyme support, maybe they had gallbladder support, maybe they had GI lining support. We'll keep some of that in depending on symptoms, depending on budget, and just really prioritize like minimum effective dose. I'm very big on that. I don't want you taking 20 plus supplements for forever. But then we're also going to want to continue feeding the shit out of your good gut bugs. So I already mentioned in the last episode, we want a certain type of probiotic support during the protocol, one that isn't going to further exacerbate any overgrowth, and one that is also going to survive the kill off process, be that herbs, be that antibiotics. So during that, again, we're going to want to use something more like a Sac Boulardii, which is a yeast based, very, very great for GI inflammation, great for loose stool, great for immune function, or like a spore based bacteria, also going to be great for immune function, also going to be great to calm inflammation, help GI lining. I like that one a little bit more for my constipated girlies. And then during the repopulation, usually this is when we'll use a lacto-bifido blend or just a bl more blended probiotic, one that has multiple strains and species of bacteria to properly nourish the good gut bugs. This is also where we will slowly and strategically reintroduce foods. So say you are doing a low FODMAP diet and you did that for 12, maybe more weeks just because you found that that is the only thing that helped your symptoms. This part might be a little scary if you feel very safe with those foods, but we are going to want to very slowly and strategically start reintroducing those higher FODMAP foods, right? And basically, what that means is Well, there are multiple ways to do it. I personally like to do a three-phase introduction, and I'll talk about what that is in a second. But let's talk about what the low FODMAP diet is. Like, what does FODMAP even mean? So FODMAP, FODMAP, stands for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polysaccharides, which are basically just like a short chain carbohydrate that are poorly absorbed in the small intestine when somebody has some sort of overgrowth, or even when somebody just has poor intestinal health. So a lot of times, doctors will recommend a low FODMAP diet to those that are diagnosed with IBS, because it does remove a lot of potential food triggers that people just often react to. So if you've been on a low FODMAP diet for a long while, my hope is that the kill off, the protocol, got rid of whatever bacteria those FODMAP foods were feeding and causing issues with, right? So that's where, when we are reintroducing food, we're going to want to go one category at a time. And I actually have my reintroduction sheet pulled up, so I'm going to read right from that. So first, we want to evaluate like where your diet even is. Oftentimes, and this is how it should be if you work with a practitioner, it will likely be a very customized approach. Like, not every client avoids every FODMAP food, just because lifestyle, I don't want it to be totally unsustainable. But what we will do is pick one category to start with. And more often than not, I'll start with like a soft fruit, so a fructose, and you'll have a 3-day reintroduction period, right? So during these 3 days, you're not trying anything new besides the soft fruit that we decide on. Usually these are going to be things like a honey or a mango or a peach. And what you'll do is you'll start on day one with a small serving. So for example, you know, 1 teaspoon of honey, 1/4 of a mango, and you'll eat that and you'll just see how you feel. And that's it. You'll move on with your day eating the things you know make you feel good. Assuming you don't have any crazy symptoms. And by crazy symptoms, I mean like GI pain that is so uncomfortable you need to go lay down, diarrhea, nausea, brain fog. Those are what I would consider more extreme, and that you failed the food. And we'll talk about what that means in a second. Some symptoms that are kind of normal when introducing something new, especially when you start getting down to things like broccoli or beans per se, that are just traditionally harder to digest for people. Some things that are normal are going to be like a little bit of gas, a little bit of belly weirdness, but nothing that like cripples you or interrupts your day, right? So day one, say you pass, you do great. You don't have any issues with the 1/4 of a mango. Day two, we're going to go 1/2 a mango. Everything else stays the same. You don't try anything else new. Say you pass, no issues. The third day, you try a whole mango. Say you pass, you're good. We do a rest day. You don't eat the mango. You don't try anything new. And we just see how you feel, because some people will have like a delayed onset of a reaction. That's more of like an immune system thing. But assuming you pass, you don't have any issues, sweet. You're more than welcome to eat anything from that category, any of those fructose, higher fructose things that we talked about. So like the honey, the mango, the peach, all of that. And then we rest, right? So then phase two, usually we'll pick like a vegetable and we'll go through that. You know, then we go into different categories, and I'll base the order of operations here on the client. I think a lot of us that have maybe dealt with GI issues for a while, we tend to have foods that were like that. I cannot eat onion every time. I can't have it. So that's where we'll say, hey, do you even want to try reintroducing this? Like, I know it's scary, but do you want to try? And if it's a no, that's fine. We don't have to try it right away. If, for example, we think the client has celiac, we're not going to reintroduce gluten. And if we are, we do it last. And the reason for that is just because the longer we wait to reintroduce things while supporting other variables, it's more likely that you'll tolerate it well. So that's where the question that you might be thinking is, well, what if I fail? Like, what if I still have symptoms to that food? Does that mean that we didn't get rid of the infection? And my answer is not necessarily no. It just might mean that your digestive capacity isn't there yet for that food. And I see that happen most often, again, with things like beans, sometimes like broccoli, garlic and onion, dairy, but that's okay. So what we would do there is, say you don't react well, that's fine. We'll table it. Stop reintroducing things. We'll rest for a few days, move on to another category. And then maybe in a couple of weeks, after we've had proper probiotic support in, after we've had other intestinal support in, we've really beefed up your digestive capacity, you're pooping regularly, all that, we can try it again. So you go through the list and reintroduce them one by one. And by the end, you know, it doesn't take that long. A lot of it depends on the person. Like sometimes we'll go slower if you were nervous or if you're traveling. Usually I recommend doing the reintroduction in your normal environment, but I've had clients do it all over. It really will just depend on how confident you are. And this is also a time where we're communicating very, very closely, where you're updating me day to day. Hey, I tried this. This is how I felt. Hey, I tried this. I felt fine. And then at the very end, we'll go into alcohol if you do decide you want to reintroduce that, which for most people, even if you don't drink regularly, I do recommend reintroducing it in a controlled way, just so you know, like if you wanted to go out for wine, if you wanted to go out to a margarita or whatever it is, because I do believe that while yes, alcohol is a toxin, it's bad, whatever, it does have a place in a balanced diet, right? And it can be a big part of our lives. So that's a big step that I think is often missed. We need to make sure that that reintroduction diet happens in order to repopulate good gut bugs, get you all the probiotics, prebiotics, all of those things, but also give you your life back, which I think is one of the most important aspects of it. And then making sure that you continue the support stuff, making sure that you don't just drop all of your intestinal lining supplements, make sure you don't just drop all your probiotics and all of that. Just because, again, you know, just because we killed off the infection doesn't mean that your gut is healed yet. There is still work to be done. So we can also talk about lifestyle, right? Just because we healed your gut, you're done with your protocol. And this can go for hormones too. Just because you go through a protocol and you're feeling better, it doesn't mean you can go back to sleeping 5 hours. It doesn't mean you can go back to drinking 3 cups of coffee before breakfast, right? We need to really make sure that lifestyle variables stay consistent throughout. And I know I personally got into kind of a poor mindset after my protocols because I was dealing with stuff for about a year between my hormones and my gut where I was just afraid to have it happen again, which like fair, it was scary. It was uncomfortable. It sucked. And I babied myself. You know, I avoided trying Greek yogurt for a year because I was petrified. I ended up being fine. I can eat Greek yogurt again. I love it now again. Or being petrified to try having a drink again. I went almost 2 years without a drink. And if you know me, you know, I really don't drink. I have other methods of intoxication that I enjoy recreationally, THC mainly. I really don't see a need for alcohol in my life, but like if it's my friend's wedding, I want to have a damn glass of champagne or something like that. Right. So things like that, like it can be really scary during this process. And that's also where I recommend doing it with a coach. I won't take somebody through this without fully working through them. But then it's like also giving your body grace because you may not respond well. Not everybody has that magical rainbow unicorn experience where they go through the protocol and in an ideal situation, which does happen, you start feeling better and better each week with your kill off herbs. You start pooping more. If that was your issue, you know, you start digesting food better. You have more energy. Brain fog is lifted. Skin issues go away. Other things improve, which is obviously what we want over time, but it's different for everybody. Some people have more up and down, and that's where giving yourself grace and having support is going to be really, really important. So now let's kind of last thing here, and this honestly is going to be important as well. What do I do if my gut protocol, like I did it, but now I feel a lot worse? And I covered this a little bit in the first episode about like what might have caused that. And unfortunately, especially if it's not done correctly, it's not uncommon to have that happen where you go through an antibiotic, you go through a protocol or maybe you buy a new supplement and it works for 2 weeks, but then you feel the same or you feel worse. Part of that is, you know, you might have not actually addressed the root cause of the issue. You might have just had like a little Band-Aid for a little while, but then it came back with vengeance. There is also the possibility that maybe you didn't need a protocol. And this is unfortunately something that I see a lot in the coaching space. And this is why I love mentoring clients and helping them mentoring coaches and helping them with their clients' GI maps, especially. Because if you're familiar with a GI map, there's a lot that it shows you, right? And it can look scary when you go through the intestinal health markers, when you go through the bad bacteria and something's lit up red high. And I know I was this way when I first started reading them as a coach. I was like, oh, this person has SIBO. There's one bacteria strain high. Their intestinal health sucks. Oh my God, I'm going to do a kill off. And then it's like, okay, let's sow our role here and this is kind of what my GI map looked like, which I need to go over on Instagram as well. I had like 2 strains of overgrowth and my intestinal health was so bad, right? My enzyme production was low and my immune function was low. So it's like, okay, my body right now is just super susceptible to overgrowth because my immune system isn't doing a great job fighting it. my mucosal immune system, just because we see a low secretory IgA, which is that marker of mucosal immune function. Just because we see that low doesn't mean that you're getting sick all the time. Most of my clients that have that low don't. I personally, knock on wood, never get sick really. But then like pancreatic enzyme production wasn't happening. My stomach acid is low. So we know why I have these overgrowths, just because my body isn't able to protect itself from them. So going in with a kill off right away probably wouldn't have made me feel much better, because my body still can't fight it and I'm susceptible to another one. So that's where I think a lot of coaches kind of jump the gun, and it is exciting. It's really cool to put somebody through one of these protocols and have them be successful, which is the most common outcome, right? But I think a lot of coaches will jump the gun, or even, you know, if you're not a coach and you're listening to this and you're like, oh my God, I have all these symptoms, I'm going to buy all these supplements, I'm going to kill it all off. And that's where I recommend that you slow down and consider testing. I know testing is expensive, just to let you know and be transparent. Through me, a GI map is between $350 and $400, just depending on the ordering methods that we use. But realistically, like, I was doing this for years, and I see other people coming to me doing it for years. We end up spending so much money on supplements that we don't even know if they're the right one. So it's like, let's just like save up a little bit and then buy the test. But a lot of times I think the test is just misinterpreted, where we see things are high and we freak out and we're like, oh my God, the client has all this stuff going on. We need to kill it off. We need to kill it off. And then it's like, okay, like maybe that's true, but you need to see the big picture. We need to see the big picture. What is their history? You know, what is their environment? Are there other things at play? Like maybe a mold infection, which the GI map doesn't show. Do they have other immune related things like EBV, which is like long mono? Have they had COVID? Have they had shingles or Lyme disease? All these things impact your immune function, which is probably the most important thing here. And doing a kill off or a protocol that was unnecessary can make things worse. And if you're there, that's okay. Deep breaths. You're not doomed. You're not going to die. Everything's going to be fine. You likely just need the right support in. You need the right things that we've talked about in the last episode, making sure that intestinal health is supported. And then you just need to give it time. This is an up and down battle. It is not straight uphill. It is a lot of up and down. And I had a good conversation with a client the other day who's going through some GI issues in addition to some immune stuff. And she was like, I feel like I should be feeling better. Like, why am I feeling worse some days and okay some other days? And it's like, it is up and down. It's like, it's going to take your body some time to get online with what we're trying to do. So that's where, you know, don't beat yourself up if you feel like you've done it wrong in the past. This is just maybe your sign to reach out to me or another practitioner and make sure that you're doing it right. And it's also important to remember that it's very common to have GI motility changes after stopping your protocol, right? Because the different herbs, different detox methods and binders, they are often in there to help you poop. They're going to help you have regular bowel movements to a degree. Oftentimes we'll get to a point where we have diaph and we have diarrhea, but on average, you know, once I put these protocol kill off supplements in for someone, bowel movement regularity does improve. So that's where sometimes when we pull those things out, that's where I'll often wait a week. I'll pull all the herbs out and then we'll wait a week, like a rest week, before we introduce foods, before we add any probiotics, just to see how they do. Because constipation after a protocol isn't uncommon, because you were supporting the shit out of motility. So that's where we need to make sure we have the right things in after. So definitely, you know, take a pause and evaluate what it might be. If you're not sure, definitely reach out. I love talking about this stuff. And then, you know, the last thing that might be possibly a reason why you might have done a gut protocol, but now you feel worse, again, is not having the right support during and after. And I don't even mean supplement support here. I just mean like the right coaching, the right mentor. If you're a coach looking to help a client, and that can be scary. Like I remember when I first started doing GI maps, I had a mentor at the time. And if I didn't, I probably would have quit, because it's scary to put clients through this. It's scary sometimes to have your client tell you, hey, I have this rash. Oh my God, I didn't have this before. Is what we're doing causing it? Or I feel so much worse. Why do I have diarrhea? And when you're new to all of this, it is scary. And especially if you're going through it for yourself, it's scary. So that's where making sure you have the right support during and after, so that way you can go through it and then learn what your new normal is. Because your new normal, it's going to be so beautiful. It's going to be so nice. You're going to be able to eat the foods again. You're going to be able to eat out without stress. You're going to be able to wear the bikini because you're not bloated. You're not watery. You're not feeling yucky in your body all the time. And I know how that feels, how uncomfortable it is. I avoided the beach for many months living in Florida just because my low belly was mad and distended and crampy and pinchy and gassy and nasty. So I know what it feels like. So I hope that this was helpful to help you understand, well, what even is a gut protocol? You know, do I need to do one? And if you are wondering if your symptoms weren't what your symptoms could mean, if it warrants testing, if it warrants a gut protocol, I am going to be hosting a free masterclass. It will probably be out by the time this podcast airs. So make sure that you sign up for that. It's totally free, and we'll kind of go through everything related to both gut and hormone and how they are mixed and intertwined and how they impact one another. Because I think a big common misconception with a lot of GI symptoms, especially ones that show up outside of the GI tract, like skin issues, migraines, fatigue, lethargy, brain fog, cravings. We, as women, we instantly jump to, this is my hormones. It's my hormones. I need to do a Dutch test. I need to do labs. I need HRT, right? But oftentimes it does stem from the gut. So the goal of the workshop is to help you understand like maybe what symptoms you actually have and where they might be coming from and what you might need to do to get rid of them and support your body for the long run. So if you liked this episode, if you liked the series, let me know. I'd love to hear your feedback. I'm always looking to learn and grow just alongside you. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any episodes and share it with somebody that might need it. And thank you so much for hanging out with me.